From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
I want to share with you tonight from a book written by Bishop Dagwood Mills called How to Neutralize Curses. How to Neutralize Curses by Dagwood Mills. How to Neutralize Curses. Can you see it? Wonderful. So I'm going to share with you tonight from this very wonderful book. All right. So I don't know if you have it, but if you go to Amazon.com, you know, you can. All right. Mean digging at all. We're having service tonight. Facebook, don't bring yourself at all. You should tell Facebook not to bring himself at all. We have church tonight, okay? Wonderful. In the comfort of our homes, Facebook, internet, I take absolute control. Thank you for angelic help tonight. Father, let it be a smooth sailing in the name of Jesus. All right, so I want to share with you about how to neutralize curses. How to neutralize curses. And I want to start from the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 24, and from verse 1. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. The Bible says that, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty." Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. I'm talking about how to neutralize curses. But I want to start from talking about curses, identifying curses. But we want to just educate ourselves a bit about curses. In this world, we are afraid of many things, and we don't pay attention to what is called a curse. You get it? People are afraid of witch doctors. People are afraid of juju men. People are afraid of obia people. But what you call a curse, many people don't respect it, and many people don't even pay attention to it. So let's take it from Isaiah chapter 24. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth." The earth mourneth. Does it sound familiar? "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away." Can you feel, can you hear, can you read the languishing of the earth these days? Businesses are down. Things are not moving as it used to be. This is a languishing of the world. And the Bible says, and the world fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Virgin Atlantic. I don't know if you've heard about Virgin Atlantic. The haughty people of the earth do languish. People who were high and mighty. You know, things have come tumbling down for many people. The airline industry, aviation industry, businesses, everything has slowed down. People, their lives. Earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth. Who could think that you and I will be so confined to our homes? I mean, we would never have believed that. I never thought, you know, we all came and we heard of the bubonic plague and things in the past, the First World War, Second World War, and how the Holocaust, how people have come to suffer on this earth. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. The suffering and the things that human beings go through here on earth. The Bible really speaks about it. There is nothing, I said last week, there's nothing you cannot find in the Bible. There is nothing in this world, in this life, that you cannot see in the scriptures. So let's go on reading. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 24. Verse 5 says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance. Does it sound familiar? Transgressing laws and changing ordinances. People do what they want to do now. People feel that whatever they feel is right. I have my own will. I can decide for myself. Whatever I feel, whatever I want to do, let me do it. I read in the news, was it yesterday, that Canada has declared bestiality not illegal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Canada. Canada is saying now, Canada, very nice country, very peaceful country. Canada is saying now that if somebody have sex with an animal, it is not illegal. Do you identify that here? Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, this is verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 24. Therefore, hath the curse devoured the earth. Therefore, hath the curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Is it familiar? Is it familiar? Are you desolate? I mean, because we have hope in Christ. We are moving on. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't it? For thou art with me. But the earth, the unbelievers, the economy, health, education, I mean, you think about it. They transgressed the laws and changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Have you seen that they are calling the medical profession and those who are at the front line, so-called front line, human, natural, physical front line, they call them essential workers? Do you see how the earth treats Christians and pastors and churches? They call them essential workers. We pastors and men of God and servants of God are not essential workers. Tell me, something that you do until the person dies here on this earth, your function is over. Tell me how it can compare to what we do from when somebody is born until everlasting life. Which one is essential? The 70 years on earth or the one that starts the 70 plus the essential one? Which one is essential? You answer the question. And so all these things have been broken down. People don't respect the priesthood anymore because of the faults and some of the mistakes of the clergy. People don't respect these things anymore. But hey, God is still God. He is still on his throne. Hallelujah. He is still on his throne. So the Bible says, therefore, hath the curse devoured the earth. Curses are very real. Curses are very, very important to take note of. Now, I'm a charismatic, like many of you are, Pentecostals, charismatics, evangelicals. You know, we tend not to respect curses. We tend not to respect curses. We respect demons, we respect devils, we respect that fetish priest, that Obia man, that voodoo man. When we see him, we you know the Hindu flags and the Hindu images and the Lakshmi and Lord Shiva and all these Sai Baba and all these kind of things that are around, we respect them. We see them more as evil. That's why I said in church one day, you know, and I pray that God gives me this my heart desire. I am praying and I'm believing God. You know, just like Bishop Dagwood Mills will say, you know, he's really believing God too. See, meet Jesus, but he has not seen Jesus. And when he meets Jesus, he'll come and tell us. My heart desire, my prayer is to disappear and reappear like Philip after he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch. Is it what happened? The Bible says that he disappeared and he was found in Azotus. I think Caesarea. Hallelujah. Now, if as a pastor, if I am preaching now, The moment the signal even changes, the moment there's a connection, you see that, you know, people begin to get a little uncomfortable. How come if I'm preaching in church and I'm holding the microphone and then I disappear for 5 minutes and I come back on stage after 5 minutes, do you think the people will sit in the church? I'm sure they will run away. I am believing God. It will come to pass. You see, people are afraid of darkness and black magic and the devil and demons. And they don't pay attention to curses. The Bible says it's the curse that has devoured the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I want you to pay attention to what we call a curse. A curse. You get it. But you see, the good side of it, which will come to, you know, in the course of time, is the fact that curses can be neutralized. People are not afraid anymore. People are not afraid anymore. My brother Ernest, then they say, Jay, people are not afraid anymore of disrespecting parents. But you see, the Bible says that honor thy father and thy mother, it shall be well with you, and then your days will be long on earth. People don't respect those things anymore. People will want to do, the children will want to disrespect and disregard and dishonor parents because the respect for curses has not been understood yet by many. And so tonight, I want to look at what really is a curse. What is the curse? The Bible says in Revelations, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. If you have your Bible, you can, you know, let's go there. Book of Revelation, chapter 22. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 22. My God. It's beautiful. Revelation chapter 22. Let's go from verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of life. A pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the streets of it. And on either side of the river. Was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is the view of heaven. This is what the Bible is recording as the things that are in heaven. There shall be no more curse in heaven, which means that the earth is cursed. There are curses working here on earth. That is why you and I look at how something came from nowhere. I mean, there are a lot of theories as to how this COVID-19 virus came about. Some people said, you know, all kinds of things, like, you know, you read and it has actually changed the world. I saw on social media, I think was it yesterday, that it can move from cat to cat. So I saw a cat on social media with a mask. Come on, please. I mean, you tell me whether if there was another planet to move to, whether you and I will not want to go there. That's the state of the earth. And it is not going to end. This is not the beginning. And this is not going to be the end until our Jesus comes and take us with him to heaven. So the Bible says that there shall no more be curse. There will not be any curse in heaven. Now, life on earth is dotted and it is spotted with continuous frustration. Look at the frustration here on earth. I mean, some people didn't choose not to go to work because of the pandemic. Some people have been asked not to come to work, yet without a salary. So how are they going to live? How are they going to make it? Is this not a source of frustration? People have bills to pay. People have families to take care of. People have obligations. How are they going to maintain this? But that is what you see in this world. Frustration. Now, you and I are probably in the countries we live in, and so maybe we don't feel anything. But what about those who traveled and are caught up somewhere? I remember this morning, in our flow prayer meeting with the prophet Dagwood Mills, I mean, he was saying that one of the crusade directors is caught up somewhere in another country. And he cannot leave. He could not leave. And the only thing he has is just the dress or the cloth that he has on. He cannot move anywhere. So he's locked up somewhere. I mean, you look at it. If you were locked up somewhere in another country and you cannot go back to the country that you live in with your to see your wife and be with your children, look at how frustrated you'll be. Is this not what the Bible is talking about? There shall be no more curse in heaven. So those who take this earth as their place, those who are, I mean, fighting for power, fighting to become presidents of Guyana, fighting to become, minister of finance, and all the things that they are fighting for, the chaos, the commotion of people wanting to ascend into power, it is God who gives power to people. Bible says it is God who sets up kings. All these people, they are just trying to become leaders in a frustrated world. I mean, even if you live in England, you live in America, you live in Canada, wherever you are, the peace that we will have in heaven, you can't have it here on earth. The Bible says it. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse in heaven. Which means that there is curse here. Curses are running. Curses are controlling people. Curses are doing this. Let me tell you, it is even if a devil or a demon will have power over you or control over you, it is because of the door a curse over your life opens to. The curse over somebody's life opens that person to demonic attacks. Unhappiness is one of the things we see here on earth. How many people are not happy? Happiness? Oh, what is happiness? You have to be happy. You have to just try and you know, make yourself happy in a way. But people are not happy. Desolation. Unexplained misfortune. Death. Death. I mean, some of these are countries. People are dying. People are dying. One of my church members, that this morning, or Sunday morning, you know, I was driving to church, and then there was an ambulance in the middle of the road. So I was even wondering, why is the ambulance in the middle of the road? You know, I'm in a hurry. I want to go to church. And, you know, so they tried to move the ambulance to the side, and then I managed to, you know, pass it. And I went to church Sunday morning for, you know, what we normally do. This morning I heard that the ambulance actually, I didn't know that the church member lived there, that place. You know, one of our nice guys, you know, an old soldier, lives there. The ambulance took him to the hospital on Sunday. This morning I heard a new, you know, that he died. Kidney failure. Death. Death is here. I mean, you will die. I will die. We will leave the house we live in. The cars we drive, we'll leave it. The monies we have stashed in our bank accounts, we will leave it. And Solomon said it is all vanity. Maybe your child who doesn't understand how hard you have worked will come and blow the money. Will come and just waste the money. Because how you see things is not going to be the same way the person who's going to inherit your next of kin. He's not going to see things the way you see things. No matter what you do. No matter what you do. So what is here on earth? It's curses. It's problems. It's issues. It's challenges. If you are in Africa, if you are in the Caribbean, if you're in a developing country, you think when you migrate to one of these Western worlds, life will be okay. Oh no, life wouldn't be okay. I lived in the Netherlands for 15 years. I can tell you, 15 years. 15 years before I was sent to Guyana to start this mission here. Europe, America, it's not heaven. That's the simple word I can use. America is not heaven. Europe, the Netherlands is not heaven. I mean, if you see it in a movie, my God, you say, wow, see by fly, Amsterdam Airport Shopping Center. I remember when I was in Academy, you know, I see one of my mates on right now. You know, my sisters used to come from Amsterdam. They come and they come with this Schiphol Airport, you know, the Schiphol Airport bags, you know, shopping center, the duty free. They used to have the on the yellow bag, see, buy, fly. And then they write Amsterdam Airport Shopping Center. And my sisters, you know, when they come to Ghana, I was a schoolboy, they would come with those bags. Man, I mean, when you're going to town, you just want to take the rubber bag and just go to town. I mean, you don't need a bag for anything, you know. You just want people to see that you have a bag from Schiphol Airport. My God, those days in the 80s, my God, it's not easy. But it's so when you have the bag going around, people will see you and they say, man, hey, the dude is from Amsterdam. Man, he has landed. But you go to Amsterdam and see. Go to Amsterdam and see. I tell you. Hey, I lived there for 50 years. The suffering, the hardship. I mean, you get a nice clothes to wear. You're walking in almost like a fridge, you know, so your skin is preserved, you know, so your color looks very nice, you know, you eat and then your cheeks become very puffy, you get pop belly and all of that. So when you take pictures and then your friends see you with a picture, they say, wow, the brother is enjoying. Let me tell you, I remember in Amsterdam, my God, I was looking for a job. Hey, I was looking for a job. I remember I got a job. I was so happy with the job. But you know what? Wow. Yes. I was saying that when I used to live in Europe, you know, I had a job. I had a job. The job was a cleaning job. To get a cleaning job in those days, my God, you do, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, you're excited. And I mean, well, I never imagined that I would clean somebody's washroom, the toilet in a big office complex for money. I never imagined that. But you see, after you go and clean the toilet and you go home and all of that, you wear your clothes. I mean, you don't let people know what you're doing. This earth is full of emptiness, harassment, confusion, futility, war, constant conflict, poverty. Charlie, some people are poor. Some people are poor. Some people don't have anything to eat. Poverty. That is what is in here. That is here on earth. And it's very interesting when people try to want to alleviate some of these problems. You can't change it. You can't change it. If only we will from today, ladies and gentlemen, respect curses, know what a curse is, and deal with it. I believe that God will help us. Now, let's look at how the Bible describes curses. How the Bible describes or defines a curse. From the scriptures. So we're looking at how the Bible describes a curse, because sometimes you don't take care of it. It's a curse. It's like somebody has taken you to the Obia man and all of that, or somebody has taken you to the Juju man. But let's see what the Bible says about curses. I'm preaching about how to neutralize a curse, and I'm trying to go through what a curse is. 10 definitions. Let's look at some definitions from the Bible where a curse is concerned. The Bible says this. But let me give you the first point. Let me give you the first point. A curse, the first point, according to the Bible, a curse is an appeal to some supernatural power to inflict evil on someone. Does it sound familiar? A curse, according to the Bible, a curse is an appeal to some supernatural power to inflict evil on someone, which may cause misery or lead to death. An appeal was made to Balaam by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. So the first definition of a curse, according to the Bible, is an appeal to some supernatural power to inflict evil on someone. It's a curse which may cause misery or lead to death. Now, if you say that there's a curse on someone, you mean that there seems to be a supernatural causing unpleasant things to happen to them. That's one of the first definitions of a curse according to the scriptures. If you say somebody is cursed, there's like some wild, supernatural, unknowing type of power working against somebody. Now, sometimes we hear, I mean, here in Guyana, I'm sure you also hear wherever you are, people, you know, fall sick and they go to the hospital and the doctor will take them through a checkup. I mean, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. and then every test returns negative. But then the person is still not feeling well. Time and time again, I've had to pray for people who the doctors have actually asked to go and see their pastor. They go to the hospital, they complain of all kinds of ailments, aches, and all of that. The doctors can't find anything with them. And the doctors themselves will say, "Do you go to church?" They ask them, "Do you go to church?" And of course, the person says, "Yes, I go to church." And the doctor will recommend myself. So go and see your pastor. Let your pastor pray for you because I can't find anything wrong with you. There's something supernatural that seems to be taking somebody down the drain. That is the first curse definition of a curse from the scriptures. Balaam was trying to be influenced by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says that, "And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?" May nobody be able to curse you because God has not cursed you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Any curse that anybody wants to go to somebody to inflict on you, I nullify it in the name of Jesus. Any curse that anyone wants to see a supernatural power to inflict on you, I rebuke, I end, I destroy, I declare it null and void right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody type and shout amen. Balaam said, "How can I curse Israel?" So Balak came to Balaam to try and appeal to God because he was afraid of Israel, so that God will curse the Jews. So the Bible describes this as a curse. And I think this is normal, isn't it? Sometimes let's take this for instance. Let's say you have a husband, you have a wife, and then maybe you realize that the husband or the wife is doing something behind your back. And then some people are advised to go and see some, supernatural power. Take the person that he's going out with. You should go and see the juju man. Or they say, my wife doesn't pay attention to me anymore. Or my husband doesn't, look at me anymore. Then they go to some supernatural, they appeal to a supernatural power. And they give them creams. Sometimes they give them perfumes. Do you get it? And then they come home, and then the juju man will say, when you're going to bed in the night, just do spray yourself, and then your husband will be stirred up. it is to inflict something. Of course, this is to kind of turn things around. But people go and see people to use other means to make people suffer and to not do well in life. So that's the first definition of a curse according to the Bible. The second definition of a curse. A curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach itself to someone. Let me read again. A curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach itself to someone. In particular, a curse may refer to a wish that harm or hurt will be inflicted on another person. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 15. Let's read about it. This is the second definition of a curse. Let us respect curses. Let us be afraid of what the Bible calls a curse, because the curse is what devours the earth. The earth is filled with curses. And we're going to go through them. Once we go through them, you will see, your eyes will open, and you will see that it's not the devil doing this. It's not the demon doing this. It's rather a curse that is at work. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. The work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. curse be that man. It's like a wish. It's like a wish that if you ever try to take a graving or molten image and say that this is my God, this is my Lord, the Bible says that it's like something is conferred. Like I said, as the point to a curse is an expressed wish, a wish that is expressed that you don't do well because you have taken something to be your God. So it's a wish that should come upon you for adversity or misfortune. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image. Don't you see this thing happen around? Like here in our country in Guyana. I mean, I want you to come and visit us when you have the chance. Come to Guyana. It's a good place to come to. When you come to Guyana, if you are somebody who is not used to images, you'll be blown away. Here in Guyana, we have Christianity, we have Hinduism, we have Islam, and then we have the other small ones. The main religions are Hinduism, Christianity, and then the Muslims. You hardly see a church when you see it in Guyana. You hardly see a church. If you see a church, somebody will have to tell you that that's a church. Sometimes there are not even signboards. If you see a mosque, nobody tells you it's a mosque. They have, you know, the towers, white and green, with a star, the moon, half crescent, is right there, green and white. You can't miss a mosque in Guyana. You also cannot miss a Hindu temple in Guyana. You see all these images, six hands, some are monkey face, human face with a tail. Some are snakes in people's compounds. On the road, as you are driving, you see the Hindu temples on the wayside. You see their flags, the Hindu flags, sometimes in public places. I want to campaign. It's one of the things I want to campaign to remove all Hindu flags from public places. You should keep your Hindu flags in your house. Public places are public places. But you see them in Guyana. But the church, you will hardly see a church. When you see a church, somebody has to show you this is a church. Many churches are not visible. You have to go a little close. If it's visible, you have to go close to see a church. Cursed be that man that maketh any graven or molten image. So some form of misfortune or adversity is on any man, only any race, any group of people, any nation that carves a molten or graven image and takes it to be the Lord. My fellow Guyanese, we say one people, one nation, one destiny. With the graven images, it will never happen. With the idols we see around, it will never come to pass. Because that is not the plan of God. At the moment you take graven images, the moment you take molten images, the Bible says it is an abomination unto the Lord. How can you make God unhappy and then your country prospers? Since the 2nd of March, we voted for a new president, a new government. We don't have one yet. March, April, May. We are going to June. I don't know which country. You see, in some of the countries in Africa, sometimes you people see us on Facebook and on CNN and all of that, and then people say, you know what? Africa, there's hunger. Look at some people shooting. How are them Africans shooting each other over there? So, you see, Africans are shooting themselves. But here, even 3 months, we don't have a government. The earth is filled with things that have come upon the earth because of certain things that people are doing. Graven images, molten images. I mean, there's a village on the west coast. There's a part of Guyana, the west coast. You know, we call the place the west coast. There's a village there. When you're approaching a village, there's a huge monkey man. I don't even know the name. Standing on top of a high something. with a tail and with something in his hand. Like that. I mean, you can't miss it. How can Guyana be blessed? How can you live in this country and be blessed? Look at how there's a lot of fight between all the races. It's a curse. There's something about taking a mountain and a graven image. I'm not talking about whether you are from this race or that race. No, I'm talking about substituting the living God with a graven image. Something dark comes upon you. Something misfortunate comes upon you. Something that you don't like comes upon you. So when people who are educated, who are scholars, think they know this and they know that, they are complaining, commentary on TV, commentary on the radio, commentary in newspapers. Surely, vanity. If we are going to neutralize this case, it will be to remove images, to remove statues, to remove flags, and turn unto the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the I am that I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the El Shaddai, the Adonai, the beginning, the end, the end, the first and the last, the mighty fortress, the great I am. Yahweh is his name. He is the God of heaven and the God of the earth. If we cannot remove molten images, we cannot remove graven images, curses. Let us not play down on the effect and the power in a curse. The Bible says it. I read it to you. Isaiah 24 and verse 6. That the earth is devoured by curses. Let me give you one point that we'll close for tonight. To be cursed is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. To be cursed is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. So when you are cursed, you come down. When you are cursed, you are inferior. Somebody is ahead of you. Somebody is preferred to you. You get it? The serpent was cursed by God and thereby was sentenced to demotion and subjected to inferiority. Remember? God told the serpent, that from today, I don't know, from what God said, it looked like the snake had hands and legs. Maybe the snake was, you know, probably walking. The snake was probably like a lizard or like an alligator or something like that. But God demoted the snake. God cursed him. God cursed the serpent. He said, from today, dust, you eat dust. I'm sure the snake probably was a vegetarian or something. He said, you eat something else. By God's grace, you will never be sentenced to demotion and inferiority in the name of Jesus. Somebody receive it one. Somebody receive it two. Somebody receive it three in the name of Jesus. You will not be sentenced to demotion and inferiority like the serpent. Hallelujah. Genesis 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Why did God compare the snake to the cattle? And above all beasts of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You see, you can look at it like somebody you know. Maybe I'll end with this story. Curses makes you become inferior and it demotes you. I remember growing up, we used to, you know, little boy, 10, 11, I think, there was a particular house in our neighborhood that was a rich house. It was a rich home. I remember those days of the VHS, video cassette recorder. In the VHS that you slide in the video cassette and then you watch movies. Now, what is a movie? On your phone, you can watch a movie. Those days, you need a cassette. You push in the recorder, you press play. I remember the remote control for the VHS video cassette recorder was like a corded mic. There was a cable connecting to the video recorder and then you have the remote like that. It wasn't cordless. And then you press play, you press eject. We used to go there. My friend was my my friend's father. The home was very nice, very beautiful. They were very generous and very accommodating. So when we are on vacation, we go on we go and visit them, and we watch James Bond movies, James Bond films. I think that my friend's dad used to go to London. You know, he used to import and export London and all of that. You remember? Okay. And so he brought James Bond series, Goldfinger, You Only Live Twice, Secret Service, Dr. No. He had all those movies like that, Roger Moore and Sean Connery. And when we go to that house, hey, we'll be there from morning till afternoon, and we watch James Bond. I mean, like Goldfinger. We watch Goldfinger so much that I could close my eyes and then recite the scenes. I could play the scenes in my head and say everything that James Bond would say. My name is Bond. James Bond. I mean, it was very exciting. 10, 11 years old in that time. Now, this home was very, very rich in our time and in our days. And many years ago, something very bad, very bad happened. I hear, the man went through a lot of things. I don't know, and I can't probably go into that. But one night whilst he was sleeping in his house, the roof somehow caught fire. The roof of his house, the house where we all used to go and watch movies and all of that, the roof of the house caught fire in the middle of the night. So a neighbor, one of his neighbors, I think the gentleman was going to the washroom, and then looked through the window and saw the roof smoke, thick smoke in the roof. So they started shouting for the man. They shouted. I think they even jumped the wall, shouted for the man. The man came out of the house in his pajamas, his wife in a nightgown, and their child. When they got out of the house, the roof caved in. The whole house got burnt. The man lost everything in the house. He was standing in the compound of his house that very night with only his pajamas. From that day, I did not believe my ears when many years ago I was in Ghana on vacation and I heard that a man came to one of my friends to ask him for money. I couldn't believe my ears. I could not believe my ears. There's something about it. That somebody who has risen up to a certain level, then all of a sudden there is demotion, there's inferiority. It's like nothing nice, nothing better is associated with you. Like somebody who is walking around and then becomes mad. I'm sure you know one or two people who are mad. I think I remember one of these school or classmate pages. I think one of them I saw a senior from school. He's walking on the street. I think he's in Canada somewhere. The guy is gone off. How can somebody come down so low? Maybe like the snake that God said, from today, you are cursed above all cattle, above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of life. Maybe there's a curse at work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for understanding and opening our eyes to know what a curse is. I pray everyone who tuned in, who is watching, who is listening, everyone who is going to watch after now, that is carrying a curse of demotion and inferiority, that somebody has gone somewhere to invoke negative things so that person will go through adversity and pain. I rebuke that curse in the name of Jesus. I nullify and neutralize that curse tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare everyone free and loosed in the name of Jesus. No curse will. And shall control your life from tonight. Father, I thank you that your word is true and your word is powerful. and that miracles and chains are broken. Miracles are happening now. Chains are broken right now. Chains are breaking. I see chains. I see somebody there's a chain around your feet. There's a chain around your feet and it's breaking. It's breaking. You know, the chain that holds each other like that. I see it loosing. I see it loosing. Receive your breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Cabros que brende macaya banduros. Rikabarabasi que brende macaya baba. Ramasete mene macaya baba. Yes, loose them right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Now, maybe you're watching, you're not saved, you're not born again. You want to pray this prayer with me? Say with me, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose again on the third day. And I believe Jesus is alive. I open my heart and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. I believe I'm born again by this prayer. And heaven is my home. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.